Hello and welcome again to the Q Shed podcast. I'm Aaron Dugan. I'm joined today by Colin Nelson. Colin, thanks for joining me.
No problem, thanks very much. Pleasure to see you again.
That's it's nice to see you too. And that's it. I think probably the best way, place to start is just coming off of the back of the Celtic B game, also a 3-3 draw at home on Saturday there. What was the feeling in the dressing room afterwards?
Frustration, I think. You know, I think they've put a lot into the second half. I think first half, I think everybody would agree that we weren't at it really, and like be fair to the gaffer, he got a really good reaction for the boys, and like they got their noses in front, and ultimately penalty, no penalty. I don't actually know, to be honest. I've looked at it a couple of times, but like the decision is what it is, and you can see it as a good point. You can see it, but I think the players are obviously, you know, frustrated and disappointed they didn't get over the line. But we showed a lot of good character, to be fair, to kind of comfort behind at half time and show a bit of resilience and quality in the final third as well.
Well, just came obviously, you can see the improvement there from last season where we were beaten 3-1 at Adrian Lennon's ground, the Excelsior, and then 3-0 at Central Park last. And especially the game at Central Park, we couldn't lay a glove on them. Also, there was the red card to Ewan Thompson, I think it was, but it felt for the last 20, 25 minutes of that game where we're just camped in our own 18-yard box. And to have it, and I know that Celtic's haven't been the same team as what they were last season, but even then, to really take the game to them and to have them in both ties, really.
I think you know, ultimately that could have been 6 points, especially the one at Airdrie. It still, I think it still disappoints me, the gaffer, the players, the board, everyone, the fans. You know, that will disappoint them. But listen, you know, on Saturday, even at 3-0, you see us trying to go and get a winner. It's not like we're happy to kind of settle for the point. And listen, the gaffer's no one to ever settle for a point. You know, he's always pushing his team to go and get winners. And I think we've always seen that. I remember Arbroath. If you remember Arbroath, yeah. I think we were down to 9 men and we had like 5 boys in the box in the last minute when it was, you know, a draw. You know, it's the way the gaffer is. He wants to win games of football, you know, and it's nice to see.
Well, I think to push on from that, see where we are this season from this time last season. We're in around the same position as what we were, but when you look at the stats, we've played 17 times this season, 20 times last season. We've won 4 times, drawn 8 games this season, and lost 5 times. We'll get into the loss season in a bit of time though, but when you look at last season, that was 20 games played because also Rangers B were on the side and they didn't have the postponed game last season this time. Yeah. But 5 wins, only 3 draws and then 12 losses. Quite similar goal differences. Also scored 6 more goals this season than last season with 30 goals and 24 last season, but 29 goals conceded in both campaigns. But when you look at the actual results from last season, it felt a bit all or nothing with us, where you felt that we were either going to win the game or we're going to get blown out. And this season, you feel that we're just a different beast. We're harder to beat. We've dropped 10 points from winning positions, unfortunately, but you do feel that there's a stronger nucleus there.
I think the main thing that you can look at there for this season is that draw column. You know, 8 draws. It's again, probably the main word of the season so far has been a bit of frustration, and I think that column, draw 8 times, is frustrating because, listen, we've not like clawed our way back into games. We've actually been winning games most of those 8 times, probably by a couple of goals. You know, Cali Braves, Celtic, Gala. I mean, I could keep going, but we've lost goals in the last kind of minutes of the game, and that's hugely frustrating. And listen, it's all this, that, and other thing. But if only we'd kept maybe even half of those games, we'd be sitting much higher in the league. But look, the loss column's clearly well down, less than half than it was this time last year. But ultimately, you know, if we'd turn some of these draws into wins, you know, we'd probably be sitting saying what a really, really positive start that we've had, alongside the cups and stuff as well. But like, the boys are, and I think we'll all agree, the boys are giving everything on the pitch and they're always kind of pushing to get winners and stuff like that. It's the way we play the game. But yeah, that kind of draw column does sicken you a little bit, like.
That's, I think it was a five when I looked into today. That says I think it was five of the draws have been from two goals, winning
Aye.
positions, and it's
That's.
all been late goals that we've conceded. It does. How does the management team and Callum and yourself try and pick the boys up after that? Because that must be disheartening to
It's
see.
mainly,
So.
it's obviously the gaffer and Kevin's responsibility.
Aye.
That's what their job is, to pick them up and listen. I'm sure they'll analyse it, and they'll speak to the boys. And like, ultimately, a lot of it's down to kind of just simple things like winning a header in the last minute in the box. Like, it's no reinventing the wheel.
No.
It's like some of the goals they've lost have been quite poor, and I think that again, that'll have Callum and Kev tearing their hair out a bit. Well, the boys know they're not stupid, and they kind of they take responsibility. But like, the manager and Kevin have been really good with them, and trying to keep their kind of spirits high when they are down after it. They really are, and they take it quite hard. But we all do, fans, board. I remember the Cali Braves, and I went home and I didn't. I think I turned my phone off, and I could not sleep that night. So I dread to think what the gaffer was like.
No, it's just it's. I mean, it's one of those things. But I always say that it starts when they're black and white. They don't read the same picture. And
No.
I think most fans, if not all of us, would say that it's 10 times better than what we were this time last season. The team seems a lot more settled. It's as you say, it's just kind of niggly mistakes that have been made, lapses in concentration that have helped made us lose points. When you look at the losses, the five losses that we've had, it's all teams that are have been
Top end of the
well
league.
top end of the league, and that says I'll just flip the page
No, I mean, listen, I
now.
think the start of it was really East Kilbride, wasn't it? And again, like, I remember that game, we didn't start very well. The manager again made some changes, and tactically, and then we got back into it 2-2, and then it actually looked like we were going to go on and win the game. So again, yeah, I took a positive for that, because at 2-0 we could have crumbled and maybe lost the game 3 or 4, but the gaffer's pushing, saying, you know what, fuck this, we're going to try and get back into this game, and we did. And like, listen, we didn't want to lose games, I get that, but there's sometimes a way of losing a game, and that was certainly one of them, by having a right good go at East Kilbride, who are a very, very good team.
You see that they've only lost once this season and drawn twice so far. Odds on favourite to win the league. They were
I mean,
can we before the season started as
money
well.
doesn't lie,
Yeah,
yeah.
no, that's it. And
Usually
that's
teams that win the league are spending the
when
most
the
money,
when
and that's the
you look at the
reality.
teams that have went up as well from it has been teams that have had a bit of money in the background to
Yeah.
them being able to just push them forward. And then, well. I think well, there won't be anybody that would have been disappointed with a 4-2 loss against East Kilbride. I don't think there's many teams in the league that would have been disappointed by losing 4-2 against
No,
East
but
Kilbride.
the thing is, I didn't think we're accepting defeat. I think in that game, specifically that game, we managed to get ourselves back into the game by a bit of desire, a bit of quality, and changing, and probably not showing them as much respect as we did in that first half an hour. But certainly if we play to a maximum, I don't think that we can beat East Kilbride, don't think that's a problem. I'm confident we could beat an East Kilbride team, no problem. But we just need everybody at it, and that has to be for 90 minutes,
That's it. We're looking through the losses. We've lost the East Kilbride. Obviously, we mentioned that. We went into the detail of that. Tranent twice. Probably the Max Christie's Tranent. We're seen as a bit of a favourite for the league as well.
Yeah.
Cumbernauld, which have been a bit of the dark horse in the league so
Yeah.
far, sitting second.
No, Cumbernauld's a good team.
No,
They've got
very
good
good team.
players, and I think they go a wee bit under the radar because they're not as, I don't know, they've not got the biggest name or
Seem
that,
a
but
bit glamorous, not.
they've got good manager, good coaches, but ultimately they've got good players, and they've got players that have played together a while. Yeah, they're doing really well, and hopefully when we play them in the reverse fixture, we'll exact a wee bit of revenge.
And then going off the last loss has been against Bowness United
Yeah.
4-2. I was just has there been a loss so far this season that you felt that says that we that was a team that we should have really been beaten, or has it
I
been
don't know.
that a
I
case
don't
that
think you could say
you've
it's really a team they should beat,
that
because I think that doesn't sound
no.
right. But I think certainly there's games where you say we should or could have won that game. Again, I go back to it was mainly the draws that you say that. But like I think the games that we've been beaten in, I don't want to say we deserve to get beat, but it was probably the right result. I'm trying to think. Maybe the Trenent 1-0 game, I thought we put a lot into that, and there was hardly anything in the game. To be honest, I thought a draw would have been a fair result. Bowness game, no, I didn't think we deserved to win or even take anything for
No.
that. So that, these are disappointments, but we're not expected to go unbeaten in the league. But I have to kind of fuel that into the rest of the
He's
season,
into it,
and take these defeats on the chin and move forward.
I guess it's one of these leagues that if you do lose a couple of that's kind of you out of the title race, especially the way it's built up. How is it that you motivate the team to just continue to push on for the rest of the season, knowing that there's no real chance of being
Sure.
dragged into the
But then I
relegation?
think that's the
Or
problem with the league rather than just counting
yes,
games. I
as
think, and it's, it is a big problem in my opinion. The league's, if you're not in the top two or three, and even within maybe say 8 or 9 points, I'm not going to say what's the point, but there's nothing to play for. And like, I think as a club, we have a vision of where we want to go, and we need, in order for the players and stuff to come on board with that and join us on that journey, they've got to win games of football or they'll not be here, I think that, look, players want to win games of football. They didn't, they go in saying, oh, we're 10th today, so what does it matter? They go in because they want to win, and I think we've built a really good dressing room in that regard. And listen, I know the gaffer's, he's not going to accept anything less. He's wanting to get as high up as he can in this league. Chairman 100% isn't going to accept that. And all we need to do really is kind of just look at it game on game and just try and pick up points. I think you can see last year, I forget who it was, maybe Berwick, they were like 12th or 13th and they went on this mental run and they finished top six, I think.
Aye.
And listen, that can be done. I mean, we're only 6 points away from eighth, seventh. And again, I'm not saying that's acceptable, it's not, but certainly we want to kind of make progress on last season's finish, and in order to do that, we need to win games. And I'm really confident that the boys and that will do that this year.
Well, if there's been I wouldn't say a disappointing league campaign, but if there's been a bright spot in the season so far, it has definitely been the cup campaigns. It would start off with the Scottish Cup with going through against Linlithgow Rose after extra time 2-1.
It was huge. I mean, it's huge, and it's huge for the club. I mean, it's, our cup history is horrendous. I think you mentioned just before you started that we'd no won a Scottish Cup game in Wick
That's
Academy.
2020-21, we beat Wick 2-0.
I mean, that's a shambles of a
That's his
record.
eye.
I
And
mean, that's
then
a
the last
shambles.
time that we won multiple rounds was in 18-19 when we beat Clyde and then Brora before getting Rangers at home
Aye.
with Jermaine Defoe, I'm
So.
sure, made his debut in Scottish football that night.
Aye, so listen, we all had no disrespect to Cali, but we'd have preferred a bigger tie. I know Rangers weren't in that round, but listen, just going back to your original point, getting through against Linlithgow and getting through against Kilwinning was huge. More so for breaking that kind of duck of losing in cup games. Financially, it's been good. Listen, it can always be better, as I say, like if we've got maybe a slightly better draw than Inverness, and things might have been even better. But listen, I think even the Inverness game, I thought the boys were terrific. Honestly, I thought they gave everything, and I thought they did the club really proud, actually.
So I think we'll talking to supporters and boys that were there, like that says, to hold a team that they've got a bit of a new manager bounce with Duncan Ferguson going in with Gary Bowen as his second, to hold a team in the championship till the 80th minute is fantastic for a team that's in the Lowland League.
Yeah, and I think, and I've seen something online, and I have to raise it because it annoyed me, is I seen somebody for Kilwinning write something about, oh, Cowden over celebrated, or they were arrogant or something like that. I actually didn't think that was the case at all. I think what you seen was a club that were desperate to get through the tie, and we actually, Kilwinning is a tough team, it's a tough place to go. we managed to get through the tie when there wasn't much in the game, and I think you can all see the delight with the fans at the end, and listen, that's a huge plus. You know, the fans want to be engaged with the team and vice versa, the players want to be engaged with the fans. So that was one of my probably my best moments of the season so far, if not the best, because it kind of proved that, listen, we're in this together. And you know, that wasn't an arrogance, that was just kind of no relief either, but it was like we're trying to go in the right direction here, and this is what it means to be at
I
Cowdenbeath.
was going to just raise that with the travel and support that day and up at Inverness. Unfortunately, I was away for it, so couldn't make it
Brilliant.
through. But
No,
absolutely
brilliant.
fantastic. I've got a colleague that lives in Kilwinning, and he had said that it was fantastic to see so many Cowdenbeath fans across there. And the junction bar will have to put on an extra coach.
No, there was like two buses, and you know, and obviously I've been following the team since I was 7, 8 year old, and I remember going on the bus every week, and there was always a supporters bus regardless of where we went. And you know, to me, the Junction boys are doing a brilliant job, and I, you know, I can't thank them enough, and not just with their support of the team, but in the community and you know, certain other things. I think they've been brilliant, and long may it continue, and we need more of that, you know, as well. And hopefully the club can give these boys more days out and more nights out and blah blah blah, because that's why you want to support a club. You
That's
want to
it.
win games
That's
and you
just.
want to celebrate, and yeah, so it's really positive. That's been a big positive this year.
Aye. Well, then on to the South Challenge Cup, beating Kilsyth Rangers 2-0 at home before drawing Lanark United and beating them 6-0. We've been drawn with East Kilbride, which is maybe a little bit of a disappointment, but a good chance to gain revenge against them in the
Listen, a
league.
tough draw. Probably couldn't have been any tougher. I think the fans would have liked an away day somewhere, because I think there was some, you know, there was shots there. There was, you know, there was Ashfield where Bobby Barr and Sean Slaven are playing. You know, it would have been good to go see them and play them. But listen, got East Kilbride. There's a lot of football between now and then. I can't remember when the game is. February, I think. But the South Challenge Cup's actually been really good. I think the players have enjoyed it. I think the fans have enjoyed it. Listen, obviously we've done well in it. That's why they've enjoyed it. But it's good to play against other teams. Whitehall Welfare, do we play them as
We
well?
did wait, I
So
forgot to put them
that
in
was,
there,
you know, we've
yep.
did well, and then they managed to kind of
Pull it
skate
back a
back out
bit,
of the game. But like, I actually quite enjoy the South Challenge Cup, if I'm honest. It's nice to play other teams, and it's good for the manager because he can utilise his squad as well.
Aye.
You know, Josh Blair, for example, has played in a couple of them, and I'm sure a couple of other boys have came in and done really well. So, yeah.
Always quite like the likes. I always quite like the Challenge Cup when we're in the SPFL. It says I know that a lot of teams disparage it as kind of like the Diddy Cups and that. But I
Sure.
feel when you've got a chance to win silverware, it's just one of
I
those.
know,
It's
like
nice to
they.
be in a cup competition.
Nah, like it's good to just not get put out in the first round, isn't it?
Aye,
Because
that's.
I think for the last 2, 3, 4 years we get put out in every first round going. So the other thing we've not mentioned the Scottish, we've mentioned the Scottish, and mentioned the South Challenge, but we've actually done really well in the Viaplay Cup.
Yes, I.
And again, I go back to it, the boys and the management done the club extremely, extremely proud, and I think the fans appreciated that. And yeah, to be fair, we, you know, we gave Montrose and Arbroath a real game, and obviously St Mirren took to the 96th minute to beat us. You know, so that was a huge positive to the start of the season. Financially, it was good as well. So yeah.
Just before we move on, Colin, been drawn in the University of Stirling in the Lowland League Cup. What's the feeling now that it's been kind of brought forward rather than dropped on? It says of
I think it's
mind.
better. I think all the clubs agreed to bring it forward because I think financially it helps certain clubs and will help us as well, I'm sure. I think the players will probably enjoy playing it earlier because they didn't, you know, they can maybe book a holiday earlier. I don't know,
That's.
but I think, yeah, I think there's enough scope in the calendar to play the games earlier. Let's see, we've got Stirling Uni, tough game. Like they're doing really well, and
I think they've won the five of their last six as
aye,
well, and that's
no,
just so
again,
really starting to find
they've
their
got good
form.
players, and like as I said, like 100% once these players finish their degree, they'll end up playing league football. Like James Berry, for example, they'll have minimum 2, 3, 4, 5 going into league football. I'm pretty confident in that. So they're a good team.
Well, just a last wee look at the players, and that says so. This season, our top scorers in the league has been Jamie Docherty with 8 goals, with Josh Jack with 5, and then Ewan McPherson and Kieran Chalmers with 3 in the league. If you combine that with the cups, Jamie Docherty's got 12, Josh Jack has 7 and Ewan McPherson has 5. Last season's top scorers overall was Scott Sinclair with 7 and then Aidan Gilmartin and Mikey Cunningham with 5. It must be brilliant to see that halfway through the season it's been so long since we've had a clinical side. It's always been
I think
a tough.
We can always go better though. Yep. I think everybody can see that we create a lot of chances, and I'm sure the boys that you've mentioned there, you know, they want to get their numbers up even more, and they're hungry for goals, and it's something that the gaffer and Kevin, their ex-strikers, played at a really good level. They drive into these boys, listen, you know, go and be clinical, go and be ruthless, go and get your numbers up, and that's what we need these boys to do. And listen, they've been really good signings. Ewan's obviously a really confident lad now. He's scored quite a few goals in the last few games. We played a bounce game last week against Benicook, 1-8-2. I think Ewan only played 25 minutes and scored a hat trick. So he's a confident lad now, and that's what you want your strikers. You want them confident, and hopefully when chances come on a Saturday, they'll put them away.
Well, talked about the cup money and that. One of the other ways that the club's been trying to raise money has been the supporter society. What's the uptake been like with that?
Well, listen, I'm not really at the forefront of it. So what I would say is that there's Brian Lumsden, there's Gordon Anderson, there's Ross Cameron. There's boys really working extremely, extremely hard to try and drive that on. And I did say that I would come and mention it. I think we've all been part of the meetings where the chairman has said, look, there'll be shares available if we hit certain targets. I know that we are behind those targets. And ultimately what that means is we've got a shortfall, and it's quite a significant shortfall at this point in time. So I would kind of put it out there to all fans that, listen, this is vital. And what I mean by that is all the money that they put into this supporter society goes towards the playing budget. It goes towards improving the team, improving the squad, and improving what you see on the pitch. And I'd like to hope that they can see improvements in the signings that we've made, and we hope to continue that in the future. But also, like, we're speaking to players just now about extending their deals, and, you know, we've had an initial meeting about next season's budget. And ultimately, you know, if we can't get some figures in certain areas, not just this, the supporter society, but other areas of the football club, the budget might not even be the same as it was this year. It might go down, it might go up. Like, we'd want it to go up, because clearly if it goes up, it gives you a better opportunity to get to where we want to get to. And I would just ask fans, listen, if you can sign up and even try and get to £20 a month. I mean, as the chairman says, I like how he puts it, it's a pint of beer a week. Save a pint of beer a week and what you would save on that, and put it out at the football club, and that will make a huge difference. It will genuinely make a huge difference, and we really need to get the numbers up. As I said, the boys like Gordon and Brian are working really, really hard to try and kick on with that. Because we want to go with Carl, we want to go to the gaffer and say, listen, this is your budget next year. Because we've already got targets. We'll speak to them in January, February if they're out of contract. But ultimately, you're kind of speaking to them, but in the background, you don't really know what you can offer. And that's quite difficult. Whereas other teams, no name and names, they'll know roughly what they need because they've got backers, or they've got, you know, financial stability that they know they can lean upon. We probably don't have that as much as other clubs. So, listen, it'd be really good if we can get a few, not just a few, we need more than a few, but even if we get a couple of weeks signing up, a couple of months even, just to get these numbers up, because it's absolutely vital. I can't stress it enough. I know there's a meeting at the end of December. Maybe I'm a bit kind of more forceful with it, but the reality is that we're not going to be able to keep some of these players if we can't get the numbers up there and the numbers up in other areas of the football club.
I think, as you say, it's very important for teams like ourselves. David Nugent has been on the podcast, and I've been over supporter, good friends with myself. He's said himself on their side is that they're... sorry, I'm going to cough my lungs up here.
Are you emotional?
I've been stifling this cough, you're coughing when you're talking there. Like,
you know,
that's it, that's getting on to me there, like that pull you through hell then. David Nugent is he said he's worried about Albion Rovers once the parachute payments fall away.
Sure. So again, parachute payments no here next year. You didn't have to be a rocket scientist or a economic major to realise that the figures didn't stack up. We didn't think we're going to have the VIA play money this year. So, listen, and the board, the directors have really done a miraculous job to get the figures that we've got to already, as well as the fans, by the way. Sorry, I didn't just mean that. The board, the fans as well, supported the club really, really well this year. We need that to continue. But again, we're probably not going to have the VIA play money next year. We definitely don't have the parachute payment. So right away, you have to take that out of what we can propose. And that has to be made up somewhere to get to the same level, if not try and kick on with the budget. Because listen, I don't think there's any secret. I think I said earlier that the bigger the budget, the more opportunity you've got. But like, we're not even going to get near what a Trenet or an East Kilbride are on. I think our recruitment's been really good. I think if we can build that core group that we've got, because we've got six signed up for next year already. We're talking to five, maybe six for next year, and that might grow. That number might grow depending on consultation with the manager and stuff like that. And if we can even get another five or six signed up, that's 12 boys that have played all this year, and then hopefully we'll add more. And listen, we might actually could end up signing the whole squad. I don't know. That'll be up to the manager and the budget and the money that's available. But I just know that money's super tight, and we really need to get that CISS numbers up. And I'd really try and get the fans to, if you can spare £20 a month, sign up. Go to Gordon Anderson, Brian Lumsden, Ross Cameron. Contact the club. Contact me. I'll put you in contact with people. And because it will help. Your money will help, and it does go towards the playing budget. So that money that you're putting in effectively will keep a Ewan, a Zach, a Matty, whoever your favourite player is. Hopefully, it will go towards keeping them for next year.
Well, just on talking about improving the squad, is there an area where the management team's looking to strengthen this in the kind of coming months?
Always looking to strengthen, always looking to improve. The reality is that budget's tight and it's difficult. So obviously, see, we've maybe moved Jack on. We might be maybe one more. We'll just wait and see. But I think we always want to improve what we've got. And I think, listen, the manager's always big on improving certain areas of the team, and we're in constant dialogue with that. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Me and the manager speak every day about certain things, and could we do another forward? Could we do another centre back? Could we do another, centre mid, left mid? But players come available, and like, we've freed up a loan as well, so there's a loan available just now, and there might be another one in January or January, sorry, because Dylan Duncan's loan will be up then, so his will free up. So we'll see. But we've got some targets, yeah, and things might happen soon. They might not, but I think ultimately we've got a good squad there that if something didn't happen, they're good enough to go and win games anyway. So I think it just a kind of watch this space, isn't
Well, just talking about players that have left there, you mentioned Jack Duncan,
it?
22 years old. He had made 8 appearances in the league with one goal. He came in from Caledonian Braves. He's been loaned out to Johnstone Brough. Dougie Hill as well, old stalwart of the club, and that's definitely a fan favourite. Come in that well in a kind of almost retirement phase to come in and play
Well,
a kind of last bit of time for the club
I think
there.
Dougie was really important at the start because he brought that experience, he brought that voice in the changing room. I think in the League Cup campaign, I think we could all see the benefit of having him in the team. And then obviously he's kind of been stop-start with injury. He'll admit that himself, but he was never really fit. I think he said when he came in, he played a game and he says, "I've been lying on the couch for 8 months or 9 months or something." And he came in and kept St Mirren at bay. I was like, "Fucking hell, what a player!" But look, Dougie's a great lad. The fans know him from when he first started his career. I mean, he's signed with Berwick now because he still believes he can offer something, which is fair play. And he will, like, he'll do well, I'm pretty sure he will. But he had a deal till January, and yeah, we kind of just agreed to kind of move on. Because the one thing about Dougie is, like, he cares for the club, he genuinely does. And in an era where I don't think many players will say it, but they don't really mean it. They look after themselves. Dougie's done something for the club financially that he didn't have to do, and it helped the club. And yeah, he's been a top guy, and he'll be welcome back at Central Park anytime.
Well, wait, I mentioned that as a massive fan favourite, a bit of a miss of the experience there. We had also Ian Davidson last season that kind of brought that stability. Dougie Hill brought that stability this year. Is it a case that you've brought Dougie Hill and he's managed to bring a bit of experience, a bit of teaching to the younger players in the squad, and now yous are
I
looking.
think, for example, we can all see, like, Gregor. I think he's grown, he's more consistent. I think he's been one of our most consistent players in signings, and he would have benefited for Dougie, and not, like, even Jack Duncan and other boys that were playing at the time, they would have leaned on him for experience. And I think that's invaluable for a young group of boys. So listen, it's maybe something that we look at in the future. I know the manager's keen on getting experience. Now, experience could be, doesn't have to be 38. I mean, you could be 29 and experienced, with a lot of games under your belt and stuff like that, or a leader. You could be a leader at 25, 26 as well. So I think the gaffer would like to add, essentially next year, a certain type. And, these are things that we're working on now, but we'll have to be patient on that, and hopefully the right players become available. But no, Dougie was good in the dressing room with the boys, because it's a young group, and it's a really good group as well. They're really tight knit, actually. And I spoke to somebody the other day about, extending their deal, and I think he said, like, it's the best change room I've ever been in. So that helps when you're trying to extend his deal. But listen, it is a really good group of boys, and I think they care about their own football and about the club. So that's the main thing, yeah.
Then also Cal Murray signed last season. Was put out on loan to Hillybeef. It was subsequently cancelled and he's released and then signed by East Anglia. Is that a case that there's just too many players playing the kind of position that he
I
plays?
think we had, at the time when Callum was there, I think we had quite a lot of boys. I think we had 22, 23 players, so we had to trim that. In an ideal world, we want to run with a squad of 18. Financially, even for the gaffer's point of view, it means that he's kind of got that group to work with. He doesn't want to leave boys out as well. I don't think any manager wants to have a group of players and then you have to leave them out of squad. A club our size, I don't think that's wise. So, Callum moved on, and I hope he does well at East Stirling.
I think he scored one of my favourite goals I've seen for a long time against Dalmeutie.
I know, it was a
That's
good
when
goal.
he
But
dan
listen,
dancing in the box,
and I
but
think Callum will agree as well. Like, we've got Zach and Jamie in his positions, and Jamie and Zach, in my opinion, are better than him.
tremendous
So they've
players.
been really good signings, and they had the jersey, and they've kept it because they're good players.
Going on from that, we'll talk about the outs, we'll talk about the ins. Greg McPherson's come in from Linlithgow, right back. Well, as you say, 27 years old. He's been part of the Linlithgow team that won the East of Scotland League last season. Must be a great addition to the squad,
No,
that.
brilliant. I think he's Ewan's brother, which helps. So yeah, if they've got another brother, we should try and sign him, because they're two good lads and they're, like, good players. Greg was a guy that the manager really wanted, so I was really happy that we managed to get him. I think, as you say, like, he's came from a successful team, and I always think that's, in my opinion, when you're signing somebody that comes from a successful team is good, because they've got good traits and they want to install that into your dressing room and onto the park as well. So, and they're used to that winning mentality, and it's just ingrained in them. So Greg's got that, and listen, he's got a good engine. He's a fit lad. He's got quality. He was excellent at Inverness. He was absolutely brilliant at Inverness. And yeah, he'll be a really, really good addition to the team.
Somebody that come in earlier in the season, was signed from Clyde, is Andy Rodden. He's played 9 times for the team this season. He was given an 18-month extension until the end of the 24-25 season. What's he bringing to the side?
He's a quality left back. You know, he's got loads of quality. He's listen, he's had a couple of red cards. We can, you know, no want to go over it. He's now eligible to play on Friday, and hopefully he'll go on a run of games. He's just a good player. He's a good player. And I remember when at the very start, I remember the gaffer kind of saying he was one that we need to kind of try and look to extend, and Andy was more than happy to do so because again he likes the group of boys. He likes the gaffer, he likes the club, and look, he just wants to play. I think he was at Clyde and he didn't really get a sniff at a team that was struggling, so he probably was wondering what the hell he had to do to
What
get
do
a
I have
game,
to
and he
do?
went on loan to Bonnyrigg, and again I don't know if he played as much as he liked, whereas now he's at a club where hopefully he's going to churn out 20, 30, 40 games, and look, he's got competition because Jack Tate's there as well, so you know, that's healthy. But no, getting him signed up was also positive because you've effectively got your right back and left back. And then you've got Jack Tate, and then you've got Robbie McNabb, who's also signed up for next year. So you've got 3 year back four already done, and we'll look to continue the good work in that as well.
I wrote down the red cards there, but they were late anyway. That was, I think the first one was Hearts B, and it was in the 90th minute, and then against Moness in the 91st minute.
you
So
know, I think
is that just down to well, he's only
but it's a
22 himself,
yeah,
so
no, listen,
it's
it's a frustration. Like it's in the past now. I think we've just got to move forward,
it's all a learning curve in the end, isn't it?
yeah, and listen, I'm sure Andy has learnt from it, and hopefully he'll churn out loads of games for us and be successful.
And then he also had a couple of loan signings. Dylan Duncan from Clyde come in. They scored a double on his debut against Kilsyth in the Challenge Cup, the South Challenge Cup. And then Robbie Garcia coming in from Motherwell. He featured in a couple of Motherwell sides, but was an unused sub. He's played four times for us.
Yeah, so Robbie was just again till January, so was Dylan, and I think, listen, they've came in and maybe not worked out the way we'd hoped, but at the same time, you know, Robbie was a young lad that, you know, I speak to Motherwell a lot because of the Adam McDonald connection, and you know, he's somebody that came in and could play left back, right back, and probably found it tough that step up to men's football because it is a big jump. Adam's maybe handled it that little bit better, but Adam's a year older as well. So I think we just agreed, you know, Motherwell were fine with it, and Robbie's fine with it as well. And he's a good lad, and he'll hopefully his next loan move, whatever it is, he'll now know what it takes to kind of and
Kick
it'll
on.
yeah kick on. And look, Dylan the same. You know, ultimately Ewan and Josh have been doing really well, so I think Dylan's going to find it difficult to play. So yeah, and Mikey Cunningham's there as well. So I think it was going to be difficult for him to get game time. So yeah.
Well, just before we move on to your five team, I had a couple of questions that Mikey asked you. Was how's the pitch been holding up? Obviously, the last time, well, the last time I spoke to you and Callum, it had just been laid when we had that heat
I think,
wave, and now
listen, I
we've
think
it's been.
genuinely, hats off. I think that, for example, the weekend, I know Celtic, they actually said congratulations on the pitch because they thought it was going to be way worse than it was. Listen, the players will moan about it because it's not a bowling green. It's not. But in terms of the pitch compared to last season, it's night and day. I mean, it's honestly night and day. And hopefully that'll continue, especially during the winter. I think what we find is once you get through the winter, depending on how harsh it is, you know, come March and April, it can be really bad in terms of bobbly and fiery and stuff like that. So hopefully that won't be the case. But I think the you know, Tom Ewan does a lot of work. The groundsman does a lot of work on it as well. And I think we've done really well for the start of the season to now to keep it in really good condition. Again, compared to what it was last year, it is genuinely night and day. And I think you can see on the pitch we've passed the ball better. We've obviously got players that can handle the ball really well. So yeah, long may that continue.
Absolutely tremendous. Well, Colin, and that's as I've asked everybody else. This was shamelessly stolen from the late night kickoff. Before we move on to your five-a-side team, and we've
Crucial
talked about
five-a-side
also
team.
the crucial five-a-side team. That says we've talked about the ins and outs. All through well last season, from us coming down, there's been the scouting network that has been set up, and it has been growing. And you'd asked to just say a piece on that.
I know, just to say that, you know, that's continued, and there's a few boys, there's Liam Shannon, there's Colin George, there's a couple of other lads through the West, And if I've missed anybody, I'm sorry, but that they go out every week and go to fixtures for me and the manager and go and look at players and listen, their help is greatly appreciated because they don't get paid. They're doing it to try and help themselves but also help the club. And listen, we get reports in every week about players and stuff like that, and that really helps build a kind of portfolio for us and build the kind of information. We've got Drew Sanson, who was initially a scout, but he's kind of doing a lot of analyst stuff on other opposing teams now. So like boys like that are invaluable for the manager, you know, and the club. So I just kind of wanted to thank them, you know, on air, so to speak, because like these are boys that just nobody really knows about, but they're doing a really good job for the club, and long may it continue. Same, like it's like anybody at the club, you know, that are kind of, you know, you come in, you see Scotty Gallagher, yourself doing the camera, like the club just can't function without boys, eh? And I just think sometimes it's nice to kind of show a bit of appreciation because I know how hard it is to do what they're doing, and. You know, I think a wee shout from the club just to kind of thank them for their efforts, and they're doing it for the love of the club. I'm sure you do it because you, and ultimately you just want to see your team win, and you know, that's what we all want, and everybody's efforts hugely appreciated, you know.
It's funny, because we work in the scene. I work with a lot of English people, and obviously a lot of them are following your Man Uniteds, your Arsenals, your Chelseas, and that. And they're always a bit kind of a bit of banter towards yourself with supporting Cowdenbeef and that. But a lot of them would say it's brilliant what you're doing. It says it must be brilliant just being part of a kind of small team. And as you say, that says where everybody seems to have their part, and they can't work without
No, like
the same input.
it can't. And as I said, like the boys that are doing stuff behind the scenes for the kind of first team, and but even like the kit men, you know, Dale and Phil. I mean, honestly, I can't tell you how much work goes into kit. Everybody thinks it's just about getting your strips ready. It's not. Like it's so tough. I'll be honest. I'm absolutely delighted I didn't have to do it anymore because it was probably the most difficult thing to juggle because you've got to be the first there and you've got to be the last to leave. You've got to pick up stuff. You've kind of got to be constantly, you know, informed of what's going on. But they constantly need to kind of know, have I got this for the match day? Have I got that? Have I got, because all the players will have their own little things that they need as well, and getting food and water and. Honestly, the ball's pumped up, and it just sounds like, oh, that's not a hard job. But see, when you put them all together, and you've got the travelling, and you've got to be there first, and you know, it's a huge job. So again, Phil and Dale, they didn't get paid. They do it for the love of the club. They're fans. They've been stood on the terrace, and they just want to see their boy, the players win, and the club win. And I take my hat off to them because they're brilliant as well. They're brilliant for me, and the gaffer
That's
as
it.
well.
Well, that's it. No, well, we just to finish up there,
My
Nelly.
five
Since
team.
you've got your five team, it was shamelessly plucked from the late kickoff podcast. I've asked everybody to do it. I know that you might get a bit of stick in the dressing rooms after this if you don't pick
Oh,
it.
none of them
That's
players are
just
getting my
a
five team. Like,
well,
I can't have favourites either.
it's the player, the floor's yours.
Nah, I mean, listen, I think I've watched the club since I was seven. I went to my first game in 19. I may want to say the year because I can't remember. Like, it was the Alloa game when we got promoted. That was my very first Cowmeath game. And then I kind of started watching it literally every game when we were bottom of the league when Craig Levein took over. That's when I proper started watching it. So I've got favourites, whether they're actually like players that are better than other players. Clearly they're not, but they're kind of my players. But listen, to be honest, I've kind of went with the run of the mill names, but I guarantee this team would win. My goalkeeper, one of my favourites, was John Martin. He came in when he was 41 years old, bit of a legend at Airdrie, and just like none would get by him. I don't think he was the best at kicking and stuff. I don't even think his goal kicks went by the halfway line sometimes. But John Martin, but like again, I'll go back to Craig Gordon, Scottish internationalist, been there, done it, came in on loan, and I remember thinking, this kid's really good. He wasn't here very long because he went back to Hearts. So I'm going to choose for nostalgia John Martin, but Craig's clearly a better goalkeeper. I'll go John Martin. Centre backs, really, well, somebody defensive minded was really tough. I was going to put Dougie in because he's my mate, but Dougie can't run, so I'm going to put in Tom O'Brien, who for me is the best lower league centre back. just now, but he has been for years, and I thought he was terrific. Again, I know him, he's a good lad as well. So Tom O'Brien, special mention to John Armstrong, John Boo, the usual suspects, and stuff. Gonna have to go with Morgado Gomez because, again, just an unbelievable player. And at five aside, I didn't even look at the ball off him. And then, usual suspects, Gregan, Kane Hemmings. I was going to put Marcus in, but I think Marcus was more of an athlete, so he was somebody that always needed space in front of him. And at five asides, he's
maybe you're not going to get the space.
Greg and Kane are just ridiculous. So Greg, Kane, Gomez, and Tam O'Brien, and John Martin. John Martin would fill the goal anyway, so no much getting by him. So there's my five team.
That's a good size team, that.
But there's boys like Mark Bradley back in the day, brilliant player. Mark Baxter, honestly, fucking great player. And we've seen players like that have come on loan, like Derek Reardon, boys like that. But then he pushed me for anybody at the team.
I won't do that to you. I don't want you getting a blade. I don't want you getting a dirt on the Christmas night.
But listen, we've got a game on Friday. I hope the fans come out because it's a really important game. I think if we win, we jump three places, I think. So hopefully the boys will do the business and get the win.
Well, just a last point for me. The Junction Bar, the Junction Supporters Club are auctioning off a Kane Hemmings signed top from the game against Dunfermline, the 3-0 game. Signed, there's 23 numbers left, so if you want a chance to win it, it's a tenner a number. Please get in touch with Ross Ellis or Stephen Housie or Stuart Creighton to get your number. Thanks very much, Colin, for coming on.
Thanks very much, and again, keep supporting the team, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.